just standing there. And I thought I was only dreaming, yeah. I kissed you then.
Daniels, and welcome to Healing with Dr. Daniels. It is Sunday, June 23rd, 2019. And have we got a show for you today? Yes. Pneumonia. Why? There's a 60% chance, at least a 60% chance, that whatever therapy your doctor gives you will not be effective. That's right. It's not going to work. It is just not going to work. Now, I noticed this when I was a medical student. The therapy was just amazingly ineffective. And I didn't really know why. And so today, I got, not today, a few days ago, an email. And I said, oh my God, that's the reason why. And the email came from, yep, you guessed it, Medscape, the new service that tells your doctor the latest in medicine. And here's the thing. In medicine, we're told that half of everything that doctors are taught is wrong. It's just not true. Absolutely fake, false, not true. This is what doctors are told in medical school. But we don't know which half. And then each 2 to 4 years, another 50% becomes untrue. But obviously, if you go out about 20 years, then really nothing taught in medical school is true. And so you have to ask yourself, if it's not true 20 years from now, well, was it true today? Answer, of course, is no. So we're going to take a look here at this one case, which is pneumonia. And this is community-acquired pneumonia. What does that mean? That means you got pneumonia and you go to the hospital because you have pneumonia, not pneumonia that you get after you're in the hospital. So this is not the pneumonia that doctors give you or that hospitals give you. This is the pneumonia that you got, you know, with the old days they called it walking pneumonia. So you're walking around, mind your own business, and you get pneumonia. So we're going to just say hi to the Facebook people here. Are we here? Yes. Hi, Facebook. All right. So as usual, the regular Facebook page is not working for whatever reason. Don't know. But hopefully the Facebook folks will find us. There we go. Person showed up. Please. Okay. All right, so we're talking about community-acquired pneumonia. Again, walking around pneumonia. This is a pneumonia you get outside the hospital, and you're admitted to the hospital because you have the pneumonia, not you go to the hospital and get pneumonia. Okay. All right, so the medical industrial complex has actually taken a look at this and says, well, how are we treating this pneumonia, and how effective is it? Now, I noticed in medical school that it was, to my observation, totally ineffective. And so let's see what the medical industrial complex has figured out 30 years later. I tell you, you cannot make this stuff up. So this is from Medscape. Oh, wait, you guys on Facebook, you like links. Let's give you a link. You guys can check it out. Follow along with me. Okay. So there we go, you guys on Facebook, you got the link. Okay. So, pneumonia in the post-antibiotic era. This means they are now saying that antibiotics no longer work. But wait, why do they not work? Okay, so let's find out. So, pinpointing the source of infection in community-acquired pneumonia, that's CAP, you got to use an acronym, that way you can appear knowledgeable, can be a daunting task. More often than not, results in failure. So, pinpointing the source of the infection is never established. Okay. Although strep, that's a bacteria, is the most frequently isolated bacterial pathogen, it's the most frequently isolated. Okay. You have to understand it's most frequently isolated, but it's not the most common cause. In fact, despite extensive testing, that means a lot of they test for this bacteria, that bacteria, the other one, they spend thousands of dollars, that's your money, no pathogen is detected in 60% of patients with community-acquired pneumonia. Stop right here. So you have an infection, and you cannot find a cause. So infection is a disease caused by a contagion. Okay? So if you cannot find a contagion, which is a bacteria, a virus, whatever, if you cannot find a pathogen, then you have not established that you have an infection. Yes, you have a condition. Yes, a person's having difficulty breathing. Yes, they're coughing up sputum. Yes, they have a fever. But do they have an infection? If we're being scientific about it, and you've done all the tests, which I say you've done all the tests, and you can't find an infecting agent, then if we're being scientific and we're being honest, there must be another cause. The cause of the condition must not be an infection or contagion. Now, that's an important thing to come up against. That, in other words, the scientific community is not holding itself to a scientific standard. So what they're doing here is presuming an infection, just making it up. Oh, person's got an infection. That's like you stub your toe and the doctor says, oh, you got an infection. Doc, how do you know that? Did you isolate the infectious agent? No, I just thought about it. So that's what's going on here. Person comes in with these symptoms called a fever, productive cough, difficulty breathing, but must be an infection. So let's take a look and see. So pneumonia is an infection in one or both lungs. It can be caused by bacteria, viruses, or fungi. That's it. That's the whole list. That is the whole list. So pneumonia is an infection. So community-acquired pneumonia might not be pneumonia at all, because as these doctors have said, they've done all the tests, they've looked for all the pathogens. A pathogen is a disease-causing organism. They cannot find a disease-causing organism. If you cannot find a disease-causing organism, then logically, well, you have the disease, a person here is sick, but the disease is not caused by an organism, because you looked, you couldn't find it, right? That's like looking in your drawer, your sock drawer, there's no socks, right? That doesn't mean that there are socks, but you can't, but they're not, but they're there, but you can't see them. No, you open the drawer, you look, there's no socks, the drawer has no socks. This is the same thing with pneumonia. They did all these tests for all the organisms known to man and can find none. So this is important. 60% of what's called pneumonia is not caused by a pathogen. All right. Now, that means that in those 60% of cases, antibiotics will not work. At least 40%. So let's see what else they had to say. Even when a pathogen is isolated, that's the 40% of cases, it is usually a rhinovirus, influenza virus, or a human metapneumovirus. The names are not important. What is important, though, is when it's isolated, it usually, that's mean more than half the time, so we have 40%. Half is 20, so 21% of the time, it's a virus. All right, so let's, we have to add, we got some heavy math going on here, so we have to agree that we are looking at 100%. 100% of something is, well, all there is. So we're not looking at 110%, 120%, nothing. So in 60% of cases, nothing is isolated. That means antibiotics cannot be expected to work. Forget it. It's just not going to work. 21% of the cases, usually, which means one and a half, it's a virus. That means that the antibiotic will not work because it's a virus. No chance of working. All right. That leaves 19% of cases. But wait. you've ever worked in a hospital, and I have, then you know when someone comes up with pneumonia, you start antibiotics, boom, immediately on 100% of cases. So now you have 100% of people being treated. Okay. We've already established that for 79%, the antibiotic cannot possibly work because, one, there's no organism involved, that's 60%. Two, the organism involves a virus. I'm sorry, it's 81%. 60% plus the 21% is virus. What about the 19%? Let's be generous. Let's say a bacteria was isolated. But wait, we have another fly in the ointment here. Another thing to consider. That's the placebo effect. What's the placebo effect? Let's just say it's the ability of the body to heal itself without intervention. That's the placebo effect. In other words, it's going to get better no matter what you do. Do you know what that percent is? You can quibble 30% to 33%. Let's call it 33%. So 33% of people are going to get better no matter what you do. And 81% are not going to get better with antibiotics. So what we can do then is we add this 81%, add to 33%. So 81% didn't need antibiotics because what they have is not responsive. 33% don't need antibiotics or treatment at all because they're going to get better. That comes down to, drum roll, 114%. But wait, we agreed at the outset that we couldn't go over 100%. So 114% of cases, antibiotics are simply not needed and they're not going to work. But we know we only have 100% of cases of pneumonia, so we have to reduce that to 100%. So what does that tell you? In about 100% of cases, a person with pneumonia is not going to respond to antibiotics. They're not going to get better as a result of being administered antibiotics. But we know this by doing the simple math. And then by this particular study. So what do they conclude? Molecular viral respiratory pathogen testing. That means testing for viruses. And serum procalcitonin have emerged as tools to facilitate, that means make easy, the safe discontinuation, that means stopping, of antibiotics, particularly when overseen by administrative programs, that means profit-making entities. Still, unnecessary and potentially harmful antimicrobial therapy is common. Of course it's common. It's common because 100% of people are starting antibiotics. What they're saying here is what I observed back in 1981, year of our Lord. These antibiotics just simply didn't work. It did not work. And so they say the following cases illustrate the diagnostic and treatment challenges of this common clinical syndrome. Common? Jesus Christ. It's more than common. Again, 100% of cases. Either you've got the placebo effect is going to heal the person, or in 60% of cases, nothing was isolated, or 21% of cases, it was something an antibiotic wouldn't help anyway. So in 81% of pneumonia cases, off the bat, antibiotics are not going to work. The remaining 19% of cases, you got the placebo effect weighing in, it's going to cure 33%. Of that 100% of people with pneumonia, and so it likely would handle the 19%. So they take you through this case study of a 67-year-old woman. They give you all kinds of data, which is totally irrelevant because you don't need any of this information to figure out that antibiotics aren't going to work because we just sorted through this. And so this is what your doctor is confronted with. He's confronted with, he's got the patient's age, he's got their gender, they're in the emergency room, they've got a history of how the illness started, the coughing, the wheezing. She'd been hospitalized 3 weeks earlier after having abdominal surgery, so we can guess this is probably a late-onset iatrogenic. That means doctor-caused infection. Her temperature, she's got a fever. Blood pressure's a little high. That's normal when you can't breathe. White blood count, a little high. Again, normal for these findings. A chest x-ray, which is not normal. Shows some what we call infiltrates, in other words, junk there that doesn't belong, it's not air, it's something else. And then they do a sample, they find some white cells, they start triple antibiotics. Oh my God. they start ceftriaxone, which is an antibiotic, metronidazole, which is antibiotic and mildly antiparasitic, and methylprednisolone, which totally wipes out her immune system. And of course, they had to put her on a ventilator and put her in the intensive care unit, of course. 48 hours later, she's on the ventilator still. They say she's clinically improving. And what would you recommend? And they go on and on and on. So it's a whole big choreographed dance, back and forth, do this test, do that test, put this in, put this tube in, take this tube out, stop this, start that. It's a whole ritual. But we know already going into it, the antibiotics are not going to be helpful. So it is really, this is where things are. Now, the point here is infection as a cause of pneumonia is a theory that doesn't work. Why? Because in 60% of cases, there's no infectious agent. So if there is no infectious agent, then there cannot be an infection. So the question is, well, what's the disease? What is the disease? So the disease has got to be something else. It's got to be another cause. So all this ritualistic, take her to the intensive care unit, do this, do that, what else could it possibly be? Well, if we take a look at the chest x-ray, which is always a nice thing to do, wish I could figure out a way to show, but you guys on Facebook, you can go to the link, scroll down, you can see his chest x-ray. All right. So we have here a lung. We can just reason this out, right? Because, yeah, we're reasonable people. We have a lung here. Top of the lung, you can see, is black, which is what it's supposed to be. That's air. Nice. And as you get down to the halfway part, things start getting a little fluffy, literally cloudy. And what's that? Well, it's liquid. Where did liquid come from? Well, it came from the bloodstream from other parts of the body. Yes, that's where the liquid came from. This person did not pour water into her lungs. The liquid came from the rest of the body. Whoa, whoa, whoa. If the liquid came from the rest of the body via the blood vessels, then what the heck is it doing in the lungs? There's a good question. Why is it in the lungs? Well, it's in the lungs because if it was not in the lungs, it would be someplace else in her body that would be even more dangerous for her. Well, wait a minute. If it's in the lungs, give her pneumonia. She's sick. She could die. That sounds pretty dangerous to me, doesn't it? Sounds dangerous to you? I think so. But her immune system, in its wisdom, hey, we can't question that because we're mere humans. We didn't make the immune system. Said, whoa, we should put this stuff, we'll call it stuff, in her lungs because we don't have any place else in the body to put it. Excuse me? Is this time where you raise your hand in medical school and say, why don't we dump it outside the body? How about that? Why don't we just dump it outside the body? This lady's real problem is she needs to have a few more poops. Yes. Dump it outside the body. Two easy ways. One is to pee. Actually, that's not the easiest way. The easiest way is for her simply to poop. Yes. Did anyone recommend she poop? No. What are our choices? Continue the antibiotic for 7 days because she's sick. Discontinue the antibiotic because, taken all together, the clinical picture suggests she has a viral pneumonia. Change to levofloxacin or moxifloxacin as monotherapy for an additional 3 days because of their superior effectiveness. In other words, another antibiotic. Change antibiotics. So continue the antibiotics, stop the antibiotics, change the antibiotics, or add more antibiotics. That's it. That's the whole, your doctor only has those four choices. That's it. That's all he's allowed to do. The real cause of her problem, you can see it right here in the x-ray, very simple, actually it's pretty obvious, is she needs to poop. She needs this junk in her lungs to find another home, preferably the toilet. Yes, the toilet. Now, she also has something else that she needs. Presuming you're going to help her find relief with the toilet. So the next thing that she would need is to take in more fluid. If you see this picture, you see tubes going every friggin' where. I mean, everywhere. It's amazing. It's amazing. So give her some more water to dilute this stuff that's in her lungs. Give her more poops to get it out of her body. And then, hey, here is it. Here it is. Listen, wait. You can slather her chest with Vicks VapoRub to further express the crap from her lungs. And that's it. Unfortunately, we've just spent a whopping maybe $50 for the Vicks and to get her poop and get her some, yeah, give her some distilled water with that. Give her some clean water. And that's it. But no, we need several thousand dollars in antibiotics. You can see from this picture, if you're a doctor, you can see these different tubes. There's this tube coming down her throat where she's intubated. It's in her trachea. That's good. She's got a pacemaker in. Jesus Christ. She's got oxygen. Oh, wait, another tube over here going to the intubated tube. Okay. And then she's got to have some kind of venous access. There's a bunch of other tubes running across her body, but it's not clear that they're fluids. So you have this whole process going on. Let's go on to the next section. They actually have a second page where they actually discuss this. And their answer is discontinue the antibiotics, which, of course, never should have been started in the first place. Why? Because we've done the math. 60% of cases, no organs is going to be isolated. 21% of cases, it's going to be a virus. 19% of cases, it's going to be bacterial. But we know in 33% of cases, it's going to get better just because of the placebo effect, even if it is an organism. And so since the organism is only 19% of the problem, we know she's better off without an antibiotic at all. At all. And again, 60% of cases, we play the odds, and it's not a bad thing to play the odds. Why not do what's most likely? There was never an organism involved at all. But here, they say, well, you know, she's allergic to penicillin, so we have to use other antibiotics. Given the safety warnings, the changing to the fluoroquinolone to be reserved for situations when other agents can't be used, or really when the patient's going to die anyway, what the heck, you just need to bill for something to start a quinolone. Although it could be argued that empirical coverage should be included for MRSA, given her prior hospitalization, the negative sputum culture ruled out those pathogens. Now, notice this. The negative sputum culture, what does that mean? That means it took a sample of the junk she was coughing up, and it did not grow out any organisms. That is proof that the organisms are either A, not there, or B, not present in enough number to cause diseases. This is the gold standard. I just want to mention this to you, because in a lot of illnesses like HIV/AIDS, for example, this is not the standard. What, isolate the virus and see if it's going to grow in the culture? Oh, no. We have to use antibodies. We have to use a suggestion of a suggestion that maybe the organism was there at some time. That's not good enough. It has to be present at the time the person is sick and in large enough numbers to cause, at least to reproduce, if not cause the disease. So what we are now progressing to is a standard of detection, the antibody standard, that does not even require a living organism to be present. And then they have another case. Now, one also we need to ask, why is the medical industrial complex ratting itself out? Why are they also all of a sudden saying, well, antibiotics don't work? Well, you know, they never did work. They never did work. So from the time I entered medical school in 1979, time I left in 83, I did not see an antibiotic miracle. I did not see what that guy got the penicillin Nobel Prize for. I did not see any effectiveness. And the reason I didn't see any effectiveness was because the condition we were treating was not caused by infection. It was caused simply by toxic overload with the toxins spilling into the lungs. And all that was needed was for the person to have some bowel movements, get some fluid in, And then, of course, stop doing whatever it was that caused the toxic overload. And so now the medical industrial complex has decided it's time to stand up, and say, the king had, past tense, no clothes. Of course, the king still has clothes today, right? So we can't believe antibiotics. It was a lie back then. They never worked, and they're still not working. So now what we're going to say is, wait, they're not working today because, blah, 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 blah. Notice antibiotic resistance wasn't even offered as a possible reason for the antibiotics not working. Because that's not why they don't work. There was always antibiotic resistance, even from the very first time antibiotics were used. The reason antibiotics don't work is because the condition for which they are being used is not caused by organisms, even if the organisms might actually be present. So, for example, you can have a person hit by a car, a pedestrian hit by a car, they're laying in the street. You've got three people standing, onlookers. Just because those three onlookers are there, does that mean that they are the reason why the person is injured laying in the street? Of course not. It's the same thing with all these cultures and tests that are done. Sure, they might occasionally, in 19% of cases, isolate something. But guess what? That something they isolate is generally has nothing to do with why the person is sick. It's an incidental finding, an onlooker bystander type effect. And when you take a look at the x-ray and you see that this lung is filled with stuff, junk, it doesn't even matter what the junk is, then the way to get the person breathing is to remove the junk from the lungs. The question is, how do you get the junk out of the lungs? And the simplest answer is to have them poop some more and get them some fluid and flush those lungs out, and then put Vicks over every place where they have ribs, which is where the lungs are. The ribs are designed to protect the lungs and help expel things from the lung into the blood, and then that blood circulates around to the liver, boom, goes through the bile, boom, hits the intestines, boom, out to the toilet. That's it. Very straightforward. However, can't very well bill $50,000 for a 5-day hospitalization doing straightforward stuff. So we have another patient, same thing, and the options are the same. Stop the antibiotics, substitute another antibiotic, continue the antibiotics, and change the antibiotic yet another time. So there's two options to change the antibiotic. One, to stop it, and one, to continue it. And with these options, your doctor really can't be a lot of help to you. Just can't be. But again, for your doctor to pass his exams and keep his license, he's got to pick one of these multiple choice options, none of which is going to be helpful for the patient. That would be you. Of course, the answer is just continue the antibiotics. So why is the medical industrial complex ratting itself out? Because now we have a situation where most people are prepaid. In other words, they've already got your money. Whether it's through the Medicaid system for poor people, the government's already passed the money out, whether it's through Medicare, the old folks program, or your private insurance. We are going to commercial and we will be back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and you're listening to Healing with Dr. Daniels, and today we're talking about why there's a 60% chance that the antibiotics you're getting for your pneumonia are not going to work. And so it turns out it's not only a 60% chance, but it's at least an 81% chance. Mm-hmm, 81% chance. And that's before you even think about antibiotic resistance, because as we said, 60% of cases, there is no organism isolated, and if we're working with science, not superstition, then if you don't isolate an organism, there's not one there. Or if it is there, it's not in large enough numbers to be the cause of your problem. That's 60% of cases. And 21% of cases, they do isolate a virus. And of course, we know antibiotics do not work against viruses, leaving only 19% of cases of pneumonia where the antibiotic could possibly work. And we know in 33% of cases of any illness, the body is going to heal itself without intervention. So then, the power of placebo, 33%, is greater than any possible effectiveness of antibiotics, which would be 19%. Exactly. So there you have it. All right. So what we're talking about now is why would the medical-industrial complex rat itself out? The answer is because they already have your money. You've already paid them your money through your insurance premiums. You've already paid your money through your taxes, whether it's for Medicare or for Medicaid. So they've already got your cash. So now they need to convince you to not accept therapy, which is actually a pretty soft sell because the therapy is not effective. It never was. But way back when I started in medicine, that would be 1979 to 83, predominantly it was a cash system. And so they had to suck people in by saying, hey, we've got something. We've got something. You need it. You need it. We've got it. We've got it. Come on. Come get it. Come get it. Come get it. So they had to say, hey, we've got antibiotics. We've got bigger antibiotics. We've got better antibiotics. Up, 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 up. And so now what you're saying is, wait, we're in the post-antibiotic era. And so in your mind, because you've listened to all the propaganda, the post-antibiotic era means, oh, antibiotics don't work anymore because of resistance. But wait, that's not what their research is saying. What their research is saying, 81% of cases, there was never an organism that an antibiotic would help. There was never an organism that an antibiotic would help. So that was always the case, even back in 1979 when I first entered medicine. That hasn't changed. Hasn't changed. What has changed is the economics. The economics back then was they needed to get you to show up in order to get paid. Now they're already paid. Got your money. So they don't need you to show up. But you have another thing. You have your health to worry about. And that's the real reason not to show up. Now, the next thing, as far as your money goes, you might as well just stop your insurance because it's not helping you, because what it's giving you access to, in this case antibiotics, is useless, totally useless. So now, so what I read to you from was basically an educational module for your doctor to convince him to stop prescribing antibiotics. And they're calling it the post-antibiotic era, implying that antibiotics used to work and no longer work. And that is simply not the case. Just absolutely not the case. How do I know? I was there. I was there. 1979, I was there in medical school. I was there in the tertiary care, top-of-the-line, high-tech hospital, watching. And they had, they had the best antibiotics. They had the best culture medic facilities. They had the best laboratory. And with all of that, the antibiotics did not work. Now, I did notice that these cultures all came back negative. And I was like, well, what's up with these cultures coming back negative? I said, maybe they don't have an infection. It's like, Dr. Daniels, please. So I said, if there is nothing isolated, then there is a presumptive infection. I said, you mean you presume that the person's infected? Absolutely, they have all the signs and symptoms why there's a fever, there's a cough, there's this, there's that. And so there must be an infection. And so we presumptively start antibiotics. And let's look at presume. Presume means to suppose that something is the case based on probability. What are some synonyms? Assume, suppose, imagine, expect, believe, surmise, guess, judge, trust, conjecture. In the court of law, we don't have conjecture. It's not allowed. Speculate, postulate, posit, deduce, divine. That means voodoo, divine. Infer, conclude, presuppose. Take for granted. So this is not scientific. This is not like proof, evidence, conclusion based on evidence. No. Totally just had a thought. It's so because we say it's so. So in 81% of pneumonia cases, 1979, the doctors were treating based on belief, guess, speculation, and conjecture. And I'd like to suggest to you that an equal percent of present-day therapy is based on just that. Expectation, conjecture, assumption, supposition. But meanwhile, the patient and the family are distracted by the chest x-ray, by this, the sputum sample that's cultured in the lab and by this and by that, and we're going to start this IV and start that antibiotic. And so everyone's totally distracted by all this, by, whoa, 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 whoa. Do you guys know what you're treating?
No.
So we have this big theatrical display, which distracts a patient, distracts a family. And so some simpleton, that would be me in medical school, simpleton, raises her hand and says, excuse me, do we know what we're treating? Do we have any idea? And they would look at me, and they had this downcast, condescending look like, oh, Jennifer, just don't understand. And no, I did not understand at the time. So at the time, of course, the goal was to sell more antibiotics, to get the bill as big as possible. Because back then, in order for the industry to get money, they had to do something. They had to create an action or an activity that would get people to part with their money. So now what we have is we have a different system. The economics have changed. They've already got the money. The money is already in hand. So now they've got to convince you not to consume. So that's why these articles. But even though you've put out the money, the worst part is to actually consume. Because as you can see, the antibiotics are very, very damaging, very harmful. And at best, the antibiotics help in 0% of cases. At best. Again, this is, hey, their numbers, not mine. So only in 19% of cases could antibiotics even possibly be effective. And the placebo effect is 33% effective. So if you're playing the numbers, the placebo effect, we'll call that the do-nothing effect, is greater, stronger than the intervention effect. Yeah, and this is, again, their numbers. They got the research. And, of course, the research was known even back in 1979. But that's not what doctors were taught. And still today what's happening is doctors' educations are based upon the economics of the industry, not what is actually in the scientific literature or even in the medical school libraries. And so the very important reason for the doctor to have 90-hour plus weeks of work and study is so the doctor hasn't got time to go to the medical school library and say, you know what? This isn't adding up. Let me go to the library and check this out. So instead, what you have is you have this doctor spinning his wheels, with his attention distracted, and he hasn't got time to go look in the medical school library. He knows things aren't adding up, but what does he say? Same thing I said when I was in medical school. Okay, they're probably going to teach me that, and they're going to explain this to me, and the clarification is coming, and I know that they've reviewed the whole medical literature, and they're giving me the best possible interpretation. And thank goodness they're doing this for me, because, of course, I, as a medical student, don't have time to go look over all the articles. And so, of course, once I became a doctor, what I realized is there are medical summaries called abstracts, and you can easily review 200 to 400 abstracts in about an hour or two. It's not a problem. I did it all the time. So, I just thought, yeah. Okay. So, the doctor then is kept totally distracted, just like the family and the person in the hospital. Oh, we're doing tests. Okay, we're going to wait for the test. The test shows, we don't know. Let's do another test. Okay, wait for the next test. And you get going and going and going. And at the end of the day, whether it's an hour later, a day later, 4 days later, $40,000 later, and still nothing is known, because of all the activity, everybody's distracted. And no one said, whoa, it's been 4 days. $40,000, and I feel better, but it's not because of anything y'all did, because you didn't even know what was wrong. So the everyone involved in the system is totally distracted. And when you just simply take a look at what is there actually evidence and what is the evidence, then it becomes pretty straightforward. So if you look at pneumonia, the evidence for pneumonia, it doesn't ever make any sense to take an antibiotic for pneumonia. And I can personally testify, I've never seen an antibiotic help anybody in pneumonia. Now, again, you've got the placebo effect, 33%. So at least 33% of the people who have pneumonia get better because of placebo effect. And I've never seen any more than, say, 10% of people get better when antibiotics were administered. And so if you take a look at these numbers then, in the 19% where the organism might have been isolated, the antibiotic was effective in about half of those. Why? Well, the answer again, because the organism was a bystander. And the real problem was the person needed to dump this trash through another avenue, other than the lung. Okay. All right. So obviously you're listening to Healing with Dr. Daniel, so you're not going to get any answers that are like standard. So there's some really interesting Facebook comments and questions here. So actually, we can answer them by way of clarifying the issue here. All right, so Shamir says, oh, wow, doctor, does that mean the toxins may be in all organs with no symptoms? Only when they spill over into the lungs do you have noticeable symptoms? No, Shamir. Let me clarify this. Yes, toxins are present in all organs with no symptoms in a healthy person. Now, when they spill over, they can spill over into any organ, depending on your condition. So they can spill over into the lungs, you have pneumonia. They can spill over into the heart, you have heart failure. They can spill over into the kidneys, you have a urinary tract infection. So the overspill can happen anywhere. If it spills over into your brain, they call it meningitis. So once you understand that that's what's going on, and you have a toxic overload or overspill situation, then you can say, whether it's meningitis, whether it's pneumonia, whether it's heart failure, whether it's kidney disease, whether it's a urinary tract infection, it's all the same. It's the same condition. Only depending on that particular individual's nutritional deficiencies or deficiencies in their immune system, the toxins collect in a certain organ. So toxic overload, not a viral or bacterial infection. Exactly. And this is what happened when I was in my medical practice. People would come to me, because they heard I did natural stuff. They would come to me, and basically they would say, I have been on at least five different antibiotics. And they would tell me the doctor was not giving them prednisone, and they would tell me they had this mysterious infection all over their body, and it's everywhere. What can they do? And so just being a logical person, I'm like, well, if you've tried at least five antibiotics, and let's just not try anymore. We're done with the antibiotics. That's not the answer. And at that time, this is 1994, 95, I said, well, you know what, why don't we just give you some vitality capsules here, get this poop going, clear out those bile ducts, and put you on a diet that's easily either A, digested, or B, disposed of. So you want a diet that's called a no-residue diet. In other words, either you absorb it and use it for energy, or it comes out the bottom end. That's all there is. And so this one guy, I did that for him, put him on a low-residue diet, put on vitality capsules, pooping. And of course, I had to see him back in like 3 days to make sure, you know, it wasn't getting worse. And in just 3 days, these boils that were all over his body had shrunk to less than half the size they were. His pain was almost gone. I think, wow, that's really interesting. And after that happened to a few people, I realized, ooh, there's no such thing as infection. This whole antibiotic thing is a hoax. And I never, ever prescribed another antibiotic. I just didn't. Well, we have a commercial, and we will be back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hi, Stack Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. Alrighty, so we're trying to clarify some misunderstandings or whatever questions about today's show. So we're going to see if we can handle them here. Alrighty. So Tammy says, is the special still on? I tried ordering but only showed two bottles for one. That is the special, two bottles for one. That is it. You found it, Tammy. Two bottles for one. And we are still working on production vitality capsules. We do not have a date as yet, but I'll be sending out emails to people to keep them informed and let them know what's going on. What can we do to help 9-year-old twins with learning and speech difficulties? It depends. I don't know. I would start with a Candida Cleaner report. Not so much to get rid of all the meats in their diet, but get rid of all the processed foods in their diet. That would be a start, and then a discovery session would also help. We could find out more about their particular situation and give you information that would be pertinent to them. Okay, here's someone who is listening, but not very closely. Latera says, does turpentine heal Bartonella disease? I don't have a positive test result for the infection because the dermatologist my son saw won't run the expensive test because he wants to protect the public coffers. Okay, again, they've already got your money, right? So that means now, no therapy, nothing for you. But the point here of today's program is you don't need a culture. The cultures are irrelevant because the organisms are not causing any disease anyway. So what you need to do is just, what the turpentine does is it drives the organisms out of your body, and your immune system says, hey, wait, we're going to keep that one. That's a good guy. I'll let that one go. No, we don't need that one. And so it creates a flow of organisms out of your body, not so strong that your immune system cannot pull and keep what it feels to be beneficial. So you don't need a culture. Like with these patients in my medical practice, I didn't have a culture. And I had the good fortune of practicing in New York State where testing for parasites was prohibited anyway. So that helped me to see more clearly that the cultures and testing were totally irrelevant because people were getting better without it. So what you need to do is create a flow with pooping 3 times a day. Let me recommend Vitality Capsules, which are now on special, 2 bottles for the price of 1. So you don't need the expensive tests. Again, they're trying to get you that desire for the expensive tests. Oh, I've got to get better insurance. I've got to pay more money. No. Let it go. Let it go. So Terry, what causes and cures mottled skin in the lower legs? What causes mottled skin in the lower legs is, again, undigested food that's stuck in those blood vessels there. So you have to change your diet, the low-residue diet, the Candida Cleaner diet, available for free at vitalitycouncils.com is a place to start, and it'll clear out the mottled skin in the lower legs. So Donna, oh, we are going to commercial.
I saw you there, just standing there, and I thought I was only dreaming. You said you would come and dance with me. Dance with me across the sea. But we can feel the motion.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.